You're listening to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston for Free Radio Santa Cruz, community and LPFM stations worldwide. This is Scooter reminding you that if you're not frightened enough to vote in this election, please send 1 gram of whatever drugs you're doing to KPFT Houston, care of Scooter.
I radiate like Africa and smile upon the world in a galactic love laughter. And if I were the rains, I'd wash away the whole world's pains and bring the gift of cool like ice cream trucks on sunny days. And if I were the earth, I'd be like mountains bountiful. And if I were the sky so high, I'd be like wind invincible. And if I could be a seed, I would give birth to redwood trees and follow the trees. I generate the freshest air to breathe in. What I be is what I be. 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 And on and on and on.
So, where the hell were we before we were so rudely interrupted by the feds busting Free Radio Santa Cruz, WFAR, and Indie Media in these times of so-called debates? And oh yeah, all right, back to reality. Hunter Thompson, recorded November 1st, 1977. That'll bring us right up to date with history repeating itself.
Let's go down here. All right.
Okay.
I have a question. You keep mentioning cocaine.
Wait, who's
over here?
We call it. All right, you're next. Yes.
You keep mentioning cocaine, but I read an article you had where you kind of call it a watered-down drug for the masses.
Oh, that's a treacherous and useless drug.
What did you say again? Because
I'm serious.
No, do you remember what you said? Something about going to a party and
just because you read something in a magazine that claims I said it has no goddamn relation in the world to what I might have said.
No, you know.
You know, and
but do you remember what you said in that article? I don't even remember.
Well, at first you hadn't mentioned the magazine, or wait, when?
I can't foot
1952 interview in Colliers?
No, well, I'll
what
tell
the
you.
What the hell, what are you talking about?
I'll tell you what you said.
Well,
what they said.
Why don't you get your facts down? We'll talk about the whatever interview you want to talk about.
Well, listen, what they said, you said was. Right?
What, who is they, man? What ever, magazine?
Never mind.
Thanks, please.
But you really must, I mean, we can't talk about an interview that I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, it's just that you had an opinion about cocaine, that you'd like to go to a party with cocaine users and give them methadrine, acid, and saltpeter, I believe it was.
Well, since you don't recall where you read that,
I can't, all right.
Why should I even, there's no point in my even thinking about whether I might have said it. Maybe I did. But it was, you know, I see a lot of things. That's one of the luxuries of living this way. You know, you can say just about whatever you feel like saying.
We have another question up here.
No, but this gentleman over here is on deck, as it were, yeah.
Right. I just wondered something. why is your name still on the staff of Rolling Stone magazine when I've read an interview with you?
You talk like me now. You gotta.
Excuse me?
Slow down. You're talking like me.
Okay. Why is your name still on the staff of Rolling Stone magazine when I've read an interview with you just expressed displeasure with it?
I don't understand these things. People are very strange. You know, I got some weird friends. It's kind of fun to play around with them. I never asked that my name be taken off. I didn't see any point in that.
Are you planning on writing for them again?
Well,
yeah,
I
is.
Wasn't, but right now I am. I'm not sure how it happened or why.
And who do you want in the series?
What are you offering? You know, I'll go either way. I went, last night I had the Yankees in 5 runs, which I thought nobody can beat a bet like that. And
well, wouldn't you want the better city to be the winners in the World Series, like Los Angeles?
Having a favorite in a baseball team is like having a favorite oil company. It's so, or you know, like a favorite big time college football team. It's there's not much choice between, say, Alabama, USC, and yeah, these people don't stand for much of anything except good football. You know, it's entertainment. What was the question? We've lost control of ourselves here.
Yes,
where,
we have a
who,
person
what?
Question in the balcony again. Are the rumors really true that they have Rin Tin Tin's brain and suspended animation in Fresno, California?
You're that same freak who was talking before, aren't you? Somebody should get him away from that microphone. Maybe not, I don't care.
Is it really true that they have Rin Tin Tin's brain in suspended animation in Fresno?
I think so. Yeah, why shouldn't they? What the hell? As I say, is it true that they have steel-belted radials? You know, of course. Makes perfect sense. You've been here before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Last
time I heard you speak, you were talking very vehemently opposed to what Rolling Stone was doing now. Now you're talking about writing for him again. What changed your mind?
What makes you think there's a contradiction in that? You know, I used to get $500 for writing something for Rolling Stone. Now I get $5,000. That tells you something, doesn't it? Now, I don't want to write any more journalism for anybody, but, how many grapes do you have to have pushed into your mouth before you finally swallow one? It makes my life easier right now to do a little bit.
According to the MK Ultra documents that are being declassified...
Speaking in English? What?
According to the MK Ultra documents that are recently being declassified...
Could
you speak up, please?
According to the MK Ultra documents that are recently being declassified by the government, they were doing a lot of experimenting with acid in the late 60s. Well, before that, too, but... Do you know of any government connection to the acid that flooded the campuses in the late 60s or early 70s, or perhaps government connection to some of the acid that you might have done?
Well, that's a pretty good acid right now. I was given, not with me, of course, but it's in a locker at the Denver bus station. But I think, once again, you're giving... You're attributing too much strength and mystery to the enemy. Although it is kind of intimidating to think that, for instance, it must have been 1961 when I first confronted acid. '60, I guess, in Big Sur and Esalen, or what was later to become Esalen. At that point, that was a really rare thing to run across. And it's a little scary to realize that in '53, 7 years earlier than that, the CIA was working out on, putting in people's drinks in St. Louis. And they were playing with Sandoz acid, too, which is not, it's not your cocaine variety acid. It's,
Weren't you good friends with Ken Kesey back in the early 60s?
Yeah, have you heard rumors that we're no longer friends?
Well, Ken Kesey, the famous author.
Yeah, I think Kesey's probably the most honorable thing a writer can do in this country, which is, hide out and retire and just refuse to say any more than he wants to say. Unfortunately, his family has a dairy farm and mine doesn't. So, I have to work for my money. There are no trust funds. There's nothing, if I had 1,500 dairy cattle, believe me, you'd never hear my name again, except maybe in Doonesbury. But that's what he's done. He told me in 66 or 67, he was never going to write again because he thought it was a bad way to communicate. At the time, we were all nuts, and it just sounded like one more, piece of talk. But he sort of carried out his threat. And still, I think there are very few American writers who've written two books as good as The Cuckoo and The Great Notion. Those are two very good books. If you get 2 out of 2 like that, you deserve to have Gary Cows in return.
Somebody up there in the balcony?
Hunter, can you tell us if there's anybody left in Washington as evil as Nixon? And if so, are they in a position of responsibility?
If there was, I wouldn't be here, man. I'd be in Washington.
Do you name names?
No, that's what I mean. There's nobody. That's one of the problems of writing about politics now, or even political journalism. You gotta have real ugly bastards to crank you up. And Yeah, who are the boogeymen now? It's I was sitting. I flew back from Chicago with sitting next to one of the great boogeymen of our time, as far as I'm concerned, a truly evil person, Colson. He was the one who said, "Once you get him by the balls, their hearts and minds will follow." That's what he had above his desk in the White House.
You got a question down here?
Why is Idi Amin still alive? Well, nobody's crazy enough to go in there and challenge him, apparently. Once you get people intimidated that badly, and he apparently has them very seriously intimidated with massive firing squads and huge, you know, D-9 graves, stuff like that. And we're talking about Idi Amin here, and why is he still alive? Are you disturbed about Amin? Well, what would you do about him then? I'm not. We've forgotten about what's happening in Uganda? Not me. I'm trying to get an assignment to go there and talk to Amin. Well, yeah, it's like going out of the swamp, you know, to visit the alligator king. It's
you got a question up there?
Excuse me, but I cut you off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Let's see. Right.
Who's talking? Women. No, you have no microphone.
Come on. Could you give up the microphone, please?
No, you can, in a second, you can do it. Yeah, you're next.
You got a question?
Yeah. I was wondering when and how you met Ralph Steadman, and also to what extent you believe that his pictures portray your views.
Portray what?
I said the second question was, to what extent do you believe that Ralph Steadman's pictures portray your views? I mean, do you feel they portray them accurately?
My views?
Mm-hmm.
I would generally endorse almost any artistic expression Ralph made. I think he's probably one of the most completely articulate people I've ever met, and one of the best people, just, you know, in terms of his own head and his life. And he does better with his pens and his paper than I do with a typewriter. Well, if you knew Steadman, they should make more like him.
How did you meet him?
It was a total accident. I was actually, when Pat Oliphant was here as a cartoonist for the Post, or here, whatever this town is down there, place of oil refineries, a horrible stink as we came up the road was really grisly. But when I decided that I should go cover the Kentucky Derby, go back to the land of my youth, that sort of thing, and dig up one more bone, I called Pat at night and said, look, I don't want to work with photographers. And I wanted Pat, or my idea was to get an artist, and at that time, Pat was the best and closest person I could get. But he had something about it in his contract where he couldn't take outside assignments. And it was Warren Hinkle, who was the editor of Scanlon's. He'd been the editor of Ramparts for years. He's run about 7 magazines into the ground. He's still the best editor to work for. But Hinkle got Steadman, when I told him I couldn't get Elephant to the story, he said, well, I know a guy in England who's very good. Nobody ever heard of him, including me. And there was really no choice, so I just had to accept Hinkle's judgment. And they sent Steadman to Louisville to meet me at some weird hotel on the outskirts of town. And that's one of the best presents I ever had. It was really a nice accident. But he was kind of underground, not notorious, but known in England at that time. Now he's almost as respectable as Oliphant is.
Hunter, you got a question down here?
Down with the maggots. Or the sharks. If I ever got to be 50 years old, I'd be so confused, I'd probably have to go into EST or something, you know, something. Yeah, to have lived this long has seriously disoriented me. What do I mean by guns, though? It makes people like you ask me questions like that in shock. I don't know. I really don't know. It was a good word that I liked at the time, and it separated me from, say, the New Journalist, or I didn't feel that I was a part of any group or type of journalist. That was nothing at all. It was just not to me. Well, apparently it means what I do. That's what I gather from people who tried to do it. But it's the same reason that I if I, on any masthead, always insist on having my own weird corner, like, you know, national affairs desk or global affairs editor, foreign manager. It's a perversity. Oh, good. There's a certain body of evidence building up here. Words like degeneracy, insanity, madness. I don't think you people were as serious as I would hope.
Hunter, we have a question up here.
You said you like to make life as easy as possible, right. And you also said that for the past 18 or 20 years you've avoided going into jail. I was wondering if you could give any of us peons out here a few helpful hints on how to avoid that unfortunate circumstance. You know, one or two things we could jot down on the back of our driver's license or something.
That'd be very dangerous for me to do that. But as sure as hell, whatever I told you would not work for you the next time you tried to use it. Like, if you went to jail, you'd blame me.
Can't hurt.
Can't hurt? All right, just in a very quick, I've always assumed there's no such thing as paranoia, that the menace is really worse than what people tell you it is, even your most paranoid friends. And I just never assume that anybody around me is anything but a potential menace. And that goes for a lot of my best friends. And most people I know, you know, my friends who have been busted for that reason, because they just get dumb about what they're doing. And the minute I say that, I'll be busted tomorrow, probably.
Question over here.
Steamboat Springs or something.
Would you like to ask a question?
Spring.
Yeah.
Which he is.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, you...
Sit down.
You mentioned earlier the great American slide, and I'm wondering what you meant by that, by America being in a slide, if you could be more specific.
We haven't done too well. We have not been able to sell our... We're not a very good advertisement for the idea that we represented.
Well, do you think there's a hope, or are you pessimistic in your
what you say?
Do you think there's a hope for us coming out of this slide, or what?
No. You know, I think the damage is done, you know. If you lose one wheel off a car, you might be able to get to the side of the road. And some freaks can make it on two wheels, but if you lose three, man, you're in serious trouble. I think we've lost three.
So it
won't work when you're still rolling.
So we may as well get out snorting as much coke as we can, huh?
I didn't say that.
Well, it'd be a good way to go down.
Well, shit, do you have any coke? You can come up and see me. Liberal? Well, McGovern was beaten in 72 worse than any losing candidate since whoever first ran against George Washington. And it's getting more and more painful for a lot of people to remember who beat him and who they voted for. His name was Richard Milhouse Nixon, and he was a rotten bastard and a dishonest pig, and he got not nearly enough what he should have gotten. We talk about losing battles and, you know, degrading the system. There's that. Nobody has done more to discredit the idea that a democracy can work and the decent people can be elected and run it than Richard Nixon. He shamed us all. But not so much that 62% of the people in the country didn't vote for him in 72. And those bastards have it on their conscience, and they should.
Would you like to ask a question back there?
Yeah, it's rather disconcerting to hear you say that with the removal of President Nixon and, you know, you feel that a lot of the big evil has been removed from Washington, and you feel the same way about Carter when he's carrying on.
I didn't say that. No, you people have a tendency here to kind of wonder, you know.
Okay, but anyway, to say that you feel the same way about Carter, which you did say, and I believe the title of the Rolling Stone article was an endorsement with fear and loathing, but an endorsement.
That's true, isn't it? All that proves is that one... 12-point headline on the cover is worth 20,000 words inside. I never said that.
Well, I read the article pretty thoroughly. And
no, you read the headline.
Okay, and the article. But I'm saying that shouldn't you be doing something more? I mean, it's fine when you've got a little circle of friends that I'm sure supply you with, you know, the best drugs possible, but for the person on the street,
no, you're wrong
still
about
being
that.
Arrested, you know, persecuted and put in jail, you know, while it's fine for a national figure,
wait,
you know,
you're getting excited
board of normal, you can get away with it, you know. But don't you feel you should be, you know, endorsing a candidate who instead of is going for an air war in Guerrero, you know, and having a lot of people killed
calm
and
down,
shot, pouring millions into it.
Get a grip on yourself.
That you should be endorsing somebody who should be legalizing psychedelics.
I'm sure you're a wonderful person, but I don't understand you. Yeah. I just bought that. That's pure ivory. You should be intimidated. Now, pick out one of your complaints. Let's take them one at a time.
I'm just saying that, don't you think, you know, instead of saying that you're going along with Carter, it's fine with his posturings against the big oil companies and everything, but shouldn't you be moving towards where everybody could use the drugs that you obviously have got so much out of?
Hey, you're just a natural fool. At first you set yourself up for an obvious answer, you know.
Do you have a question over here?
I can't answer questions like that. Not in public. Who are you? Who do you work for?
Would you continue doing that?
I'm just wondering if there's any substance behind the, you know, have a good time, let's all get high, you know. I mean, that only gets us so far.
I think people are looking to me for some kind of justification of what you want to do anyway. Why don't you just go ahead and do it? By not endorsing that, it's not just a, you know, matter of self-defense or politics. No, I wouldn't tell anybody to go ahead and get into drugs or madness. But if you want to, and you can handle it, yeah. It's a nice way to go sometime.
Do you really believe... right here. Oh.
Who's talking?
Back here. Right. You made a statement in your interview in New Times magazine that without the use of drugs, you'd have the mind of a 40-year-old accountant.
Did I say that?
Well, supposedly.
I don't think I said that.
Supposedly. Do you really believe that, and do you suggest it?
No, I don't believe it at all. Without the use of drugs, I may be working for Time Magazine, perhaps. Or the New York Times.
If you didn't say that, then I have another question. Can you really do the glasses?
Why do you believe what you read in magazines? You must be crazy.
I was asking you. I don't believe it.
Oh, all right.
That's why I came, to ask you.
I don't think I said that. And it's possible, but if I did, you know, I was wrong. Part of the question was, what effect of, you know, these drugs had on your, you know, your life? And it's the kind of question that people are always after you with. And it's obvious that you can't maintain a total duality of lifestyles that allow you to work as the managing editor, say, of the Utica Daily News, and also be the acid freak, you know, somebody who steals airplanes at nights and, you know, that zooms over over Pittsburgh and comes back and handles the life. No, if you get into drugs and you try to maintain any kind of functioning role in the society, yeah, they're going to be a factor, if only because people will make them a factor.
One more question. They have a picture of you passing a sobriety, a test to prove that you're sober by flipping your glasses off the back of your head and catching them. Can you really, can you really do that?
Only under extreme pressure. Which I did then.
Can we pressure you enough?
I did that, and I beat the CHP twice in four nights. And both times, I really should have been locked up.
Thank you.
No, I shouldn't have. I was, the evidence suggests that I was as harmless as I claimed to be. I didn't hit anybody, I caused no trouble, but I was extremely bent.
Okay.
We have a question from the balcony.
How can you be in the balcony? I'm down here. The dark one.
The hell of a balcony, you're on.
1977, we came down. Given your actions and your attitude, what I'm talking about primarily is the way you acted when you first met Carter. You were drunk, you were loud, you were all those things.
I was the same way I am now.
Exactly. My question is,
drunk
how do you
and loud, you bastard.
You're being personal, you chump.
Yeah.
What I want to know. Seriously.
If your people made this, you swine. Go ahead. Drunk and loud, indeed.
serious.
Oh, you're right, though. When I first met Carter, I was probably worse than I am.
One question.
Well, Hunter, why don't you
how do you maintain your credibility and your contacts with people like Ted Kennedy, who introduced you to Carter, who was your ticket to Carter? How do you maintain your contacts with those people that you seem to have so much fun putting down? You seem to have so much fun taking apart.
They like me. that's an honest answer. I don't know. That is a fact. Yeah, Carter worries about me. He's told people that he thinks I'm a bad advertisement for the human race, and but he thinks I'm salvageable. You know, people all through my life have felt that way. That if I could just be brought to see the light, that I would be different. But they were just dumb. That's all the light, a lot of way I made it. Or else I'm doomed. It doesn't matter. You know, the reality is there. Maybe here. Who's talking?
If I were to grant you three wishes right now, what would they be?
One that we have to get. We will end this thing quickly. That's not really a wish. I can do that. I'd like to, let's see, Jesus.
Jerry Cowan.
No, you know, when you think about it, that's probably a lot of trouble, Jerry Cowan. I'd like to just kind of have the mobility and the whatever income it would take to just get into a total, degenerate lifestyle. I like to be let alone on a fairly elevated level. And I have to, I'm tired of wars, I'm tired of fighting with people. Well, maybe I'm not, but I'm tired of fighting with the wrong people. I'd like to just get into sort of a white trash drifting trip, you know, just to make a fool of myself and not have to worry that it'll show up in the, you know, Time magazine next week.
You've got two more.
Two more, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And you're one of them, or wherever you are. Yeah.
There's two more wishes. You only made one.
Oh, my God. Well, I could use some sleep right now. I'd like to have... what? I'm trying. Yeah, the third one was, I wish I could answer your question.
Okay, and then...
Think about that. Yeah, I might solve a lot of problems, but I could. Who is this? Who's talking? Yeah, Freddie Urich. Say it again.
I'd like to know if that cane you have has any mystical significance to you. And I'd also like to know if you think fascism is doing well in America today.
Well, fascism always does pretty well when people get lazy and pissed off. Almost any solution you come to when you figure, oh, I'm tired of that, or you're thinking about this, well, just kill those bastards. You know, that's, anytime things get, you know, the best of you, that's, the natural drift isn't a fascistic kind of solution. So in a country where there are no solutions for the main problems, I think God meant us to adopt fascistic solutions.
Well, there you have it. My name is Scooter. You've been listening to The Inner Side.